This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Always one of the highlights of the day when Danny O'Neill comes by. Usually around this time, we get to chat with Danny for a little bit. We got golf going on in the other room. Kyle, what's going on with the golf? PGA Championship.
Justin Thomas just birdied. He's 3-under, tied with who? Stewart Cink.
Wow. Well, it's early, I would say, if Stewart Cink is in the lead. Tiger was 2-over. He looked like he was about to head to 3-over. So if you're paying attention.
He rescued that.
He did.
But then his next tee shot was equally as errant.
All right. Hey, I tell you what. The problem is you can't fade the golf ball in this course, Kyle. You just can't fade it at this course. Randall Chamblee taught me, Brock, this is a draw golf course, and very few righties in the PGA Tour hit a draw.
So lefty's going to win it.
Look for Rory. Or one of the lefties, Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson. They should have a huge advantage at this course at the PGA.
Justin Thomas is going to win this Sunday.
Think so?
So I'll let you know that.
All right.
Yep.
He's on fire, man.
Yep.
Two PGA championships in a row would be pretty sweet. All right. As we get ready for the game tonight, we have a game of rapid fire. Here's my question, Kyle. Do you think we should allow the people to participate in rapid fire? We're going to have open phone lines a little early today on a Thursday due to the game tonight. But should we allow the people to participate in rapid fire?
I think yes, they should be allowed.
Then let's say this. The phone lines are open. 206-421-3776. 206-421-3776. We did this last Wednesday when Brock wasn't in. You don't get to know the questions ahead. So this just takes your own guts. You got to have the guts to call up this show and wait for a question that you don't know what it's going to be and then answer it on the spur of the moment. This is like a pop quiz. Okay. This is not something you study for. This is a pop quiz, but we would like your help if you want to jump in this. 206-421-3776. 206-421-3776. Jump on here, and we will ask a series. How many of these do we have? Six or seven? Questions heading into tonight's game. Number one of the preseason with the Colts. Are you ready? Oh. Who is the player, Brock, you are most excited to watch tonight?
Number 49, Shaquem Griffin. I can't wait. And I was reminded, I was listening to some of the national radio this morning on my drive in, and they just continue to reference the story. I think it was Pro Football Talk or somewhere yesterday was saying that, man, Shaquem's had an amazing camp, and there's going to be so many teams kicking themselves that they didn't take him in the third or the fourth round, that if he had two hands, he would not have gone in the fifth round of this NFL draft. But teams were reluctant. Teams took him off the board because of that. And that's all the Seahawks gain. That story. And the Seahawks have kept him largely quiet. Right? I mean, you've not seen...
He's not been out there making the rounds.
No, he has not. Sure. They want him to be a football player.
That being said,
they want him to get after
Bobby Wagner's been pretty impressed.
You know, I've been really impressed with him just about how well he's been able to pick up the defense. You know, how fast he's moving, how fast he's playing. You know, just his, you know, for me, his route recognition. And, you know, he's fearless, man. He's not letting anything hold him back. You know, you wouldn't even know that he don't have a hand. So, you know, we treat him as such, man. He's a baller. You know, I think he's going to do a great job, and I'm excited to see how he looks in pass.
Question for you guys. Have you known a lot of twins growing up? Did you have friends that were twins? Any of you guys have friends that were twins?
We used to play football with the DeWallaces.
The DeWallaces?
Robin, you know, both my in-laws are twins.
Oh, interesting. Are twins better listeners, I wonder? Just because of their twin...
No, they communicate telepathically. They don't have to listen.
They don't even have to listen.
True. But do you think they, just because of all the time they spend together, and they love to spend time together...
That's a good question.
Because Shaquille last year, remember, sat right between Richard and Pete.
Yeah.
KJ yesterday in our meetings was saying, oh yeah, Shaquem sits right between me and Bobby. And I just wonder if there's something like innately wanting to connect and being willing to really listen that is a benefit to them.
I'm psyched for that one, obviously, for personal reasons. Yesterday, I mentioned August 8th, 1990 was the day I hurt my hand. So it's 28 years ago yesterday. So seeing Shaquem Griffin out there is cool. I posted just on my personal Facebook page, which I don't use for work at all. I posted the article I had written about Jim Abbott when I turned 40. It was so cool to see people that I hadn't talked to, and people who knew me then when I was 10, 12, 14 years old, sending little notes. Oh, man, I remember that. That's crazy.
Cool.
It was pretty cool to hear that. So, yeah, he'd be pretty high on my list. The guy, though, that I'm most looking forward to see tonight has got to be the first-round pick, Rashad Penny, man. I am just excited. Look, first-round running backs. first-round running back. All you got to do is say that.
Yep.
It's like when you talked about Paxton on the way, 97 from the left side. Like, what else do you need to hear? First-round running back. You don't take him very often. It's generally not a great idea for the long-term success of your program, but you know what? They should be good. If you draft a running back in the first round, he should be awesome. And running backs, unlike wide receivers, can often come in and contribute right away.
Yep.
So I am really looking forward to seeing him tonight. Let's grab Joey, who's in Fife. Joey, what player are you most excited to watch tonight?
Well, most person I'm excited to see tonight is Shaq, the former. I want to see stepping up number one corner role. It kind of reminds me of when Richard Sherman came up. That one year you saw glimpses, and then the second full year you're like, is this guy going to take over as that lead number one cornerback? I'm excited to see him step up. I'm not sure how much time he's going to get tonight, but stepping into that number one role, how good is he going to be? Is he going to take over and be an all-pro type cornerback?
That's an awesome answer. Joey, thank you, man. Wow, hope you enjoy the game tonight. Joe, you want a job? Are you interested in hosting?
I'll show up. I'll be an intern. I'll do it for free.
That's what I like to hear. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. 206-421-3776. This is rapid fire.
I know, but along those lines,
rapid fire.
Along those lines, I think Shaquille will be encouraging Mr. Shaquem, and because of that big brother role, like, hey, you're good. And not just to Shaquem, but some of the other youth out there, Trey on the other side, Tedrick next to him, like, we got this thing. I think there's a natural kind of leadership position born there for Shaquille to jump into.
All right, question number two, Seahawks rapid fire with the game tonight. Who is the player with the most to gain? You want to go to the caller first?
Yeah, I'll shut up.
All right, Nick and Sumner. Start thinking about it quickly here, Nick. Who is the player tonight who has the most to gain if he plays really well?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, bro.
Honestly, I think that T2 might have the most to gain. I know that he's had great reviews in camp, but, I mean, he could just take over this game. If he plays the way he's played in camp, I mean, he might just make half of the fans forget about the Earl Thomas issue.
Great answer.
He, you know, he's put himself in the position to kind of play a lot tonight, hopefully, and throughout the preseason. And depending on how long Earl is out, he could just kind of slide in there and hopefully make it semi-seamless.
That's a great answer.
Great answer.
Really, really good answer, Nick. Thanks for the phone call. Two good answers so far from the people.
You think that Pete's been so effusive in his praise for T2 and a lot of the players? You think there's a reason?
I think Pete, if it was just Pete who had been effusive, I would say yes, that's a bunch of baloney. But the fact that it's been the players, Bobby and KJ don't have any reason to talk like that, and it's come off their mouth immediately. I would say that while T2, Tedrick Thompson, has a lot to gain tonight, the team actually has more to gain from him playing well than he does. Right now, the job is his. Player I would go with actually is the guy you just mentioned. I'll go with Shaquem Griffin. I think he might be able to play himself into more playing time the better he plays tonight. I know that right now he's backing up KJ at that linebacker spot, but the linebacker spot on the other side is in no means set in stone. It's Barkevious Mingo right now who's bounced around the league. We know that they want to find ways to have him get to the passer, not necessarily as a regular pass rusher, but more on blitzes. If he can blitz the passer effectively, Brock, isn't there room for him?
He was a blitzer. He was a blitzer, and a little different than a guy puts his hand on the ground. He's coming off the edge all the time. His size, it doesn't allow him to really to be a defensive end type of guy. He's a linebacker, former DB more so than anything else. And so he's the kind of guy you like to move around. You like to take advantage of his speed. He's very instinctive. He's been a very aggressive player so far in his chances, and gives us really a good feeling about what we're already starting to gather information, have a sense for what he can do. So he's doing very well. He's picking things up beautifully.
If he can tackle, if he can find a way to get to the quarterback, if he can make a big play on special teams, I think he's got a lot to gain.
Yeah, I will be curious if Mr. Norton dials up a little Will Nickel blitz, a little four from the weak side, and Shaquem's going to do his best to not show it, right, and to not give any tell whatsoever, and then 4-4 running free. I wouldn't want to be Jacoby Brissett or Brad Kaya or Philip Walker in that position holding the ball and not seeing that blitz coming, because they may explode. He may explode. He may just combust out there as hard as he wants to hit and as fast as he's going to run. I would say, and I said this earlier, Trey Flowers got the most to gain. B-Max is going to be out. Trevon Reed more than likely not going to play as well. Nico Thorpe, I don't think, is going to play. So Mr. Flowers out there on that edge playing corner is going to get ample opportunity to show what he can do.
Yeah, I'm excited. He's going to get a chance to play a lot of ball, he just needs to be out there and play. He just needs to see what it's like and see what it feels like and come back play after play and series after series. So he'll get a lot of work. And I'm really excited for him. He's done a fantastic job. He's really bought in. He's made the transition to go to corner. Now we need to see. He's a feisty guy, you know, and so we need to see how that plays into it when he, you know, deals with the challenges that come your way at corner. So I'm real impressed with him so far.
All right, there you go. That's Pete Carroll talking about Trey Flowers. He's one of the players they felt they had to come out of this draft with. Him, yep, and Will Dissly were the players they felt they had to come out of this draft with.
Stay on top, kids. Stay on top.
Rapid fire question number three. If we just had the player with the most to gain tonight, who is the player with the most to lose? My original answer was Byron Maxwell. Because of Trey Flowers, because of all the competition at corner, Nico Thorpe has played well. You mentioned Trevon Reed. You got the kid that they got from San Francisco. So they got a bunch of guys who are sort of competing at that cornerback spot.
Dante
so
Johnson, yeah.
I would put Byron Maxwell right near the top of the list, but you told me he's probably not going to play based on some of what you've seen. So if Byron Maxwell doesn't go, I'll go with Nick Vinette because of Will Dissly. I mean, kind of the same reason. Because they have players at that position that they really, really want to see. So, Nick Vinette, you're in year number three. There were high expectations for you. Can you block? Can you find open spots in a zone and catch the ball? Are you able to be the player? I mean, he certainly got the size for it. You see him out of practice.
Yep.
He is a prototypical tight end. He is exactly what you're looking for at that position. Can he actually go out and do it? Because honestly, whenever I'm out there, I see Swoops make a lot of plays. Dissly has been raved about. Where is Nick Vinette? When is that part coming from?
Where are you? Hello.
Offensive line.
Hello.
You want me to go to the caller next?
Yes.
All right. Let's try Marcus in Everett, 206-421-3776. Marcus, who has the most to lose tonight?
I actually got to go with E3, with Earl Thomas. And the reason is, I don't think there's any way this team won't miss him if he doesn't end up playing. But because he's not playing, somebody steps up and shows us that they can at least, and they aren't going to fill his shoes no matter what, he's Earl Thomas.
Right.
But if they can at least make him wish he was here and make us, you know, not miss him as much, fill that position, be able to play that a bit. And with the way things are going with, you know, we're not going to come to him and he's, you know, doesn't look like he's going to come to us. I think he might actually hold out through the season. I think it could be him because if we have somebody step up and we don't miss him as much, that takes a lot of his leverage out of the way.
Game day callers. Game
for
day
sure.
Ballers right now.
Three great answers, man, so far. Good job, everybody. It's amazing.
The player with the most to lose.
Game day Ross today.
Game day caller, Marcus. The player with the most to lose tonight, I'm sorry, it is Jermaine Ifedi. You hear John Clayton and yesterday on his show, he doubled down this morning with us. He's losing a little bit of ground, losing a little bit of steam. You don't jump off sides. Okay, those are mental errors, Kyle Seager, that you can control that. Okay, that's not a physical action of getting beat or just not getting your pads down. That is knowing the snap count, trusting yourself, and holding your water. And if he's got a false start or two, I won't be surprised if he gets just yanked right out of there.
Game to be cleaned up. We can't let him be a liability because of penalties. And that's just, it can be more obvious. And he knows that. He's heard it. He doesn't want that to be part of his game at all.
Yeah, but it has been.
Year one, you got love. Year two, you got grace. Year three, you get discipline. So, and Isaiah Battles had a very nice camp. You've seen the move over to Marco Jones over to the right side, getting some reps. They're just not going to have the patience for it here in year three.
All right, let's see. Ryan in... No, who's been hanging on? He hasn't been hanging on as long. Let me grab Jim in Chehalis. We'll get to answer this question after Brock. So start thinking about it, Jim. Brock, the local headline on 710sports.com tomorrow morning will be...
Seahawks run game steals the show. Five running backs. You said it yourself. The running backs have an opportunity in their rookie year and with inexperience to still shine. All right. Third round pick last year, Kareem Hunt, leading rusher in the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott came right on the scene. Thomas Rawls was at his best win. His first year playing as a Seahawk. And the fact that you've got, you can go five deep at that position tonight. It's not just one or two guys. There's going to be very little drop off. And in fact, it's a pretty unique skill. So whether it's Rashad Penny, JD McKissick, CJ Procise, Mike Davis, Chris Carson, all five of those guys going to get their touches tonight. So I hope that's the headline. I'm projecting a little bit, but the run game steals the show.
Headline tomorrow morning on 710sports.com will read, James Paxton doesn't have it.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
Justin Verlander slams the door shut.
I don't boo people, but I am getting close to booing you, sir.
Boo this man.
I'll come down to the rock bottom, and I will boo you, so.
All right. You don't think it's going to be that?
I hope not.
You want a different negative headline? Just because you were so positive, everyone. I think you're probably right. It'll probably be about the running backs, but the interest of disagreement, I'll say running backs can't overcome offensive line struggles.
Boo.
Afedi takes 6 penalties in first game.
Salk walks with 300 in his pocket from the table.
Ooh.
Hits Bally High. Ready for more.
Dude, let's talk. Hold on a minute.
Salk finally connects with his long-lost college friends.
They meet in the airport at the precise exact time.
We don't meet at the airport. We meet at the hotel. But it's coordinating like where everybody is,
yeah.
The excitement level of everybody getting there.
Okay. See, here's That's the excitement thing. Of Vegas right there.
It is. Well, here's what you guys miss. You think all the time I spend talking about Vegas is just about my love of gambling and blackjack and that. It's not. That is just we could meet anywhere, and I would be just as excited to see my friends.
Might be like the constant blackjack incorporated metaphors.
That's
similes.
Something my friends and I like to do together. But the reason that I'm so excited to go has nothing to do with that. When we met in Cabo a few years ago for one of the bachelor parties, I was equally as excited to go. I don't get to see my best friends very often.
Mm.
You guys wouldn't know because you guys don't
I just
have real
like
friends.
That your vacation spots that you get hyped about are like the same as like a 21-year-old. Like,
right.
Cabo! And well, Vegas.
Cancun.
But we don't, you make it sound like we go out there and we're clubbing. Like in Cabo, we sat in the house the entirety of the time. We didn't leave the house.
Spring break is forever.
Panama City, baby.
I was just as excited to see them all at a wedding in Chicago. Is that someplace that 21-year-olds go?
If you
can I go there
to make
40?
It more fun, do you guys do the, find my friends on your group chat? You
no.
can share your location.
Really?
So right now, from our trip to Europe, I can see Jim's in Norway,
see?
Steve's in Italy, my buddy Nate's in London right now.
See, Kyle,
and you pull
understand.
Up the maps, and you can just see where everybody is.
That's awesome.
And then some of us are back here in, Edmonds.
Not as exciting.
Not as fun anymore.
Much more fun if you're in Norway. You guys just don't have real friends. You don't understand what I'm talking about.
What's a lake in Arizona that all the partiers
have?
Havasu.
Yeah. Who do we say we're getting? Jim and Chehalis, another big-time spring break location. Jim, what will be the headline on 710sports.com tomorrow morning?
Honestly, I hope the headline's going to be Seahawks tight end open the floodgates for the running back.
There you go. Mm. That'd be nice. Mm.
I want to see Uncle Will knock somebody down.
Nice.
Open up the gates, get them linebackers out of the way, let our running backs do what they need to do.
Text message. Headline Jane tomorrow Jane morning Collins. Will say, Pro Size leaves with hamstring injury.
No.
After two plays. That's not nice. You can't joke about
no,
injuries.
It's not.
That
not
is not nice.
All.
Don't be a jerk.
Thank you, Dan and Chehalis. You're excited to watch this rookie class.
Yeah, I am. But I don't expect them to contribute.
No, maybe not in the regular season. Preseason,
yeah,
they
preseason's
should.
Fun to watch those guys. But yeah. You know how I am. Any rookie contribution you get is a bonus. The only possible difference at running back, because I think you can come right in at running back
and
contribute a little bit more in a punter, sure. But, you know, am I expecting Rasheem Green to contribute right away? No, not really.
Tell you what, he's a guy whose name I heard yesterday from multiple players and people. Like, hey, you know, he's at a really nice camp of these rookies, and it's not... You know, Shaquem and his wonderful story. It's not Michael Dixon and the boomerang. Actually, Rasheem Green has been out there every day. For a guy who had a knee that was problematic, at least, you know, that was the word.
That, yeah, we didn't see that.
No, not at all.
710 headline tomorrow morning will be Salk finds heart and brain from Wizard of Oz. All right, hey. Well, that seems like a cheap shot and very unnecessary. I have a heart. Yes. The brain thing, I mean, who knows? I got a heart.
Any of your buddies?
Biggest heart you've ever seen.
Any of your buddies having the memory loss you're having?
I don't know. I'm going to check in on that. See how it's going.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, Joel's dumb to begin with. He's
right.
He can't afford to. He can't even find his car keys.
Yeah, best friend.
Yeah. No, he's not my best friend. I mean, he's a good guy. He's fine.
You guys
he's like somebody you'd go to Cabo with, but, you know.
Or like Havasu or Panama City or Galveston or any of those.
Like Amsterdam. Woohoo.
I've never been to Amsterdam. Kyle just went there. You're not making fun of him? He was living
Kyle
up in the
I
red
had
light
talked
district.
About this, and, he was like very uncomfortable the first day.
No kidding.
We're in the blue light district, and we got to go.
All right, we got one more.
All right, we got one more. The most important or most telling stat coming out of this game will be, Brock.
D-line pressure. If you can't get after this Indy group, it's going to be down a couple linemen and playing on the road and is geeked and as excited as you are. And I'm sure there's going to be a wonderful crowd tonight. If you can't get pressure on Indianapolis QBs tonight and they're sitting back there patting ball and going through progressions, I'm not just talking sacks, QB pressures as well. Like, that'll be no Deion Jordan tonight, obviously. I don't know how much Frank's going to play, but nice to see him actually practicing. So this is the rest of you guys, Marcus Smith and Brandon Jackson, Rasheem Green, and some of the other guys that have to come to the forefront, Mike. You got to get some pressure tonight. I'll be watching for that.
Headline, former employee Matt Harden scores free tickets to Seahawks game after Uber ride.
I hope so.
That's funny.
Headline, thank you, LOB, for the memories. New crop of secondary has us excited again.
Mm.
Headline, offensive line convicted of murder. Seattle's running game gets going. Oh, all right. That seems intense.
Let's just back it off.
Like, chill out. I will say, Brock, the most important or telling stat to come out of this game will be net punting yards.
Mm.
Michael Dixon and John Ryan, the battle begins! I don't think stats are too important for the for offense and defense in a preseason game. I'm not going to be looking at them. I mean, maybe sacks or something like that. But I honestly think that punting is going to translate. And if Michael Dixon can punt in preseason, he'll be able to punt in the regular season. He's going to win the job. He'll be a weapon.
For you diehard fans out there, if you're like the Nebraska football fans, some of my favorites who get in that stadium an hour before the game, 90,000 might want to watch warm-ups. If you've not gotten to the berm, if you just want to enjoy an afternoon, I don't know, maybe go get some early appetizers at Daniels, South Lake Union, or Leschi, and then get to the stadium early, please watch Michael Dixon warm up.
Fun.
Do yourself a favor and just watch him in warm-ups kick a football, because it's pretty darn unique.
Ryan is in Monroe. Ryan, what will be the most important or telling stat coming out of tonight's game?
I think it's going to be with the starting unit, how many times Russell Wilson is pressured, and also, throw in yards per carry for the running back.
Hmm. Like yards per catch for the running backs, definitely.
Yards per carry.
Oh, I thought I said yards per catch. How about yak? How about yards after contact for the running backs? Do you care about that one?
I hope they don't have any contact at all, and the holes are just wide open for them.
See, that's my man. I like that, Ryan.
Game day callers.
I like that. What great call. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
That's five of the hottest calls we've had in a long time.
Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. So we're going to do open phone lines at 9 o'clock. I hope that they can compete with the rapid-fire callers.
I don't know.
Do you think our callers are better at pop quizzes than they are at composing essays?
Interesting.
I mean, yes. That's part of the issue, right? This is a pop quiz. You don't get to know what you have to
right.
spur of the moment.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yep. Do you think we're going to hear from Roger again? I hope Roger calls.
I think
him.
Roger's too embarrassed.
Open phone. Yeah, no, he's
such
not.
A sad moment.
He came around. He started slow. He finished strong.
Really
No.
Roger just had kind of like the Mariners July, but he'll bounce back.
He will.
He's going to be.
There's
gonna be
no
great.
Question.
Are he the Mariners going to bounce back?
I don't know.
Like, if they do, how awesome will this be? I mean, the one thing you can say is, if the Mariners had just won the wild card by 10 games and just cruised, it would have been fun, and obviously you'd have been into it, but, like, there wouldn't have been any excitement. If they now come roaring back in mid-August and into September, overtake the A's and, like, make this thing on a hot streak, it'll actually be cooler, right, than if they had just cruised to it?
Yes.
That is sort of the one great thing about what's happening. I mean, I'm looking, I know, for silver linings, but if that does happen, that would be awesome, right?
I knew what was at stake. The offensive line knew what was at stake. This whole team, we playing for keeps. It doesn't matter. It's the playoffs. It's time to go. Whoever ride, we ride. Whoever not, they got to go. And everybody in this team, in this locker room, they ride.
That's the best one, man. That is the best one. Aren't you motivated now to tackle your day?
We are riding.
Let's get after this, man. We riding. All right, it's Brock and Salk. This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. As I said, we will do some open phone lines coming up at 9 o'clock this morning because tomorrow I'll be so caught up with dealing with the game and what happened. Open phone lines this morning at 9 a.m. Start thinking about something you want to say. Brock had the opportunity to hang out in the production meeting yesterday. I'd like to hear what you heard and, give us some insight. Take us inside the game, man.
Okay.
We'll do it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Bro, Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. It's game day, talking a lot about the Seahawks game tonight. Let me remind you guys, because it's going to get a little confusing with the Seahawks and Mariners, just the way it goes this time of year. Seahawks game against the Colts, preseason game, 7 o'clock here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Pre-game show starts at 5 o'clock. Now, Mariners game is tonight also. You can listen to that in its entirety, starting with, they have a 5 o'clock first pitch. On 770, our sister station, 770 KTTH. It's a little weird because the Mariners pregame show will be here at 4 and on KTTH, but then the game itself will only be on KTTH while the Seahawks are here on 710. Got it?
I got it.
So there won't be any questions today when everyone's looking for what they want to find. Mariners fans in one place, Seahawks fans in another place. Seahawks game on 710, Mariners game on 770 at 5 o'clock.
Berlander, Paxton.
Berlander?
That's what Felix called him. Berlander. Okay. Yeah, Berlander, Paxton. Tonight.
And if you're watching television instead of on the radio, you'll see and hear Brock doing the game, doing the Seahawks game.
Probably be out there with Berlander near, right?
Thanks, Felix. Right. Along with Kurt Menefee, who joined us yesterday. So because of that, you got to sit in the production meeting yesterday. What'd you learn?
I did. It just doubled down on what Pete said with you and I the other day. It was neat to hear him in that room and kind of go even into more depth about Schottenheimer Russell. I mean, we can talk about O-line and tight ends and all the Trey Flowers, all this other stuff. And you're right, these rookies are probably going to flash in the preseason, have a harder time when the grown men are all playing for real every down in an NFL regular season game. But Russell, if Russell can legitimately take yet another step in his career, Mike, and Schottenheimer is the difference in it, I mean, that is the most impactful, bar none, thing in occurrence that can happen for this organization.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, Rashaad Penny, running game, O-line, other... No. If your franchise quarterback, top five in this league, can take a tangible step up again,
yeah.
I mean, you're talking what? You're talking Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady territory.
Well, that's what Doug Baldwin seems to think is happening. He did an interview in The Athletic yesterday, and some of these quotes are... They're interesting because of the odd history between Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin.
Well, they're brothers.
They're complicated.
They're competitive brothers.
They're complicated. I know you believe that, and Doug says
they're
that.
They're stepbrothers.
I will follow you in the darkness, okay? He will follow him in the
they
darkness.
They are, but they're almost more like rival. I don't know, man. The two of them, their relationship is one of the most complicated of any two athletes that I think have been teammates for a long time. They really do seem to have an odd relationship together. But here's what Doug had to say about Russ. I'll just read you a few of the quotes. Well, the biggest thing I think is Russell is better, Baldwin said. This is the best I've seen Russ since he's been here. I'm really excited and happy for his progress because obviously that makes us a lot better. It makes it easier on us. Obviously, you see it every day in the practice field. They're working on his footwork. They're working on him to go through his reads. It's the next level stuff. When he'd see something before, he wouldn't really know what to make of it. But he's a playmaker, so he would just make a play. Now he's really being drilled on how to dissect what's in front of him. It's going to go a long way for the entire offense, especially the offensive line. Before, you could always say the offensive line had their issues. But mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is, there's communication from the quarterback to the offensive line out to the receivers.
Stepbrothers?
I swear to God. When the
It's one play at a time. All right? There's no rush on anything. We are going to follow you.
Gotcha,
you lead us.
Gotcha,
okay? Like
it.
I told you before, you lead us to darkness, we will follow you. Okay? Gotcha. So strap your up and let's get this. So
let's go work.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
You think Doug has any appreciation for how hard that job is? I mean, seriously.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
I don't think he has any idea how hard that job is.
Kessler's favorite number.
He's played,
zero.
Understand, Doug has played with two quarterbacks in his life. Andrew Luck at Stanford and Russell Wilson in Seattle. That's like who he's played with. He has not had slappies that have shown how hard that position actually is to play.
I'm trying to read these quotes, and I'm trying to stay calm while I read them because it's Thursday and I'm going to Vegas and it's game day. And there's a million reasons to be happy and excited today.
And they're generally positive.
And I've really worked hard to like come to like a point where I respect Doug and like where he's at and what he does and all that. But I got to be honest, these quotes are driving me nuts. I'm really trying hard not to get irritated reading these quotes.
Just go to your
Doug.
Happy place. Yep. Think about you guys just like all meeting in the hotel and like how great that will be. It's like awesome. The coordinated arrivals.
You want to go Tahoe next year or have to?
Yeah,
what do you want to do?
Come on,
painting my friends into these bros. Like, we're the farthest thing from that in the world.
Dude, have you seen this all-inclusive in Cancun? We're doing it next year.
Dude, like, it's going to be lit. See your frogs all night, baby.
I love the idea of my friends showing up with bro tanks and cool guy shades and, like, hats on sideways.
Dude,
like,
I got it this year. Embroidered bro tanks.
Cool.
It's like the farthest thing from this group. That is so funny. Yeah. All right, I'm trying really hard on this Doug stuff. When the communication is not on the same page or people are seeing different things, that's when you have the errors that we've had. This year's really opened my eyes to seeing how good we could have been if he had been able to take the next step. Doug, stop it! Sorry. Now, he's been given the space and the air to make that next step, but it comes at a high level of accountability with Schottenheimer.
Right.
Doug, I swear, man, I don't understand you. You are, I mean...
Yes, you do understand
him. I don't.
Yes,
I don't understand him.
Yes, you do.
You don't want to understand him. You don't totally want to live like that.
You totally understand him because, you know, G. Scott's given you a lot of that perspective over the years. He has, and it's been healthy. It's a healthy dynamic. I've said it before that Doug is his accountability.
These are the most insulting compliments
I've
ever
heard. If it wasn't for Russell, they could have been really good.
Yeah, basically the only thing holding back the Seahawks offense has been Russell.
Right.
Doug, I love you, but you're insane. I really do enjoy Doug Baldwin. I enjoy him when he comes in. Yeah. I like talking to him. I love the way he plays in the field. I love his passion. There's a million things about it. I think he's a smart, intelligent guy. I really do. I like Doug a lot. I think these quotes are insane.
Yeah, I don't. I think that there's just not an appreciation for how hard that position is. Dave Wyman will come at it from a linebacker perspective. Equally, I love, right? And he hates all the quarterback love and attention and ego and all of that.
Rock.
And Doug just kind of has some of that in him.
This year has really opened my eyes to seeing how good we could have been.
Yeah, that's not good.
If he had been able to take that next step.
Right.
Russell just wasn't able to do it.
I mean, second most efficient passer in the history of the NFL, but yes.
And all of the offensive line problems are Russell's fault for not communicating.
Led the NFL in touchdown passes last year, but yes.
In all fairness to my comment.
Jeez, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm like, I want this to be about more than this.
It actually is positive. Wow. Okay, for Doug to actually say some positive things, and certainly.
This is positive?
I'm going to take that as a
positive. How much hatred does he have for Russell if this is positive?
Yeah.
Don't tell me they're brothers.
That's
brothers,
why they're stepbrothers. They don't necessarily get along. They just have to live together.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe. Like, maybe they're finding more room for activities or something.
Oh. Because what? Did we just become best friends?
They're not.
No.
Not you best friends at all. Not close to
Did it. You just disrespect me? Yes.
Again.
Okay, I'll go real quickly here. Can we move on from that?
Or yeah, I've only Russell been good. I just, if only Russell had really understood the last few years, the Seahawks could have been good. Stupid Russell. Didn't get it.
Text message. Managed do it. You agree Financial the portfolio. Seahawks could have been better if Russell Wilson was good?
Oh, boy.
What? What is he talking about? Are there a group of people out there that believe this, Howdy?
I think there are. Come I think on. There are a group of people who believe that he is causing problems in the offense, along with being solutions, but causing problems.
He probably does cause some problems, but he also solves a million other problems.
Yes. Yep.
I am not disagreeing. I'm sure that Russell is not the perfect quarterback. I'm sure it's taken him time, Brock, to figure out some of this stuff, and maybe he's not the best at diagnosing plays. I agree with that. But the idea that Russell's this thing that is holding back an explosive offense is asinine.
Well, Doug, I think, could do this. I think if you were to quantify it, he would say, Mike, all right, you're speaking way out of turn. You don't know anything like I do, right, in my experience. So don't diminish my experience of nearly 10 years in this league. He would. And he'd say, Mike, I could send you 65 plays a game. We have 65 plays in a game. And I'll show you 6 to 10 in a game where Russell's not doing the right thing.
Cool. And I'll show you 20 where he makes up for the million other mistakes being made.
Correct.
Come on.
Correct.
Stop.
But he's saying
but
to you.
But he doesn't
you,
want to see no, those but, other plays.
But I think what he is saying to you, I think what I'm feeling a little bit is if you cut down 6 to 10 of those and it becomes 3 or 4.
Then can we show him 30 other quarterbacks and see whether or not they make 6 or 10 mistakes in those games too?
Yeah, and most of them all do.
I mean, other than Brady and Rodgers, don't they all make at least that many mistakes in a game?
Yes.
I mean, well, he's comparing Russell against a person that doesn't exist.
Yep.
He's trying to compare it exactly to his position. In my position, I do my route.
Yes.
I make my moves. I read the defense. This is my job, and I can execute it because I've learned and practiced all these things.
Your position,
you're not doing the basic fundamental things.
And your position to do that is 100% individual, Doug. Okay? You can run your route, your individual route. If you have 65 plays, you take care of it 64 times. Maybe one or two of your combo routes or your switch routes requires timing with somebody else. Russell, every single snap requires running backs, offensive linemen, tight ends, everybody else to do their job so he can flourish. And oh, by the way, you're right, Mike. He compensates and has compensated at a level that very few in the history of the NFL have had to do for some of
the misdemeanors. Well, look, I'm glad that Russell have the accountability so that Doug can be happy. I'm glad that Russell being held accountable.
How we went into that segment and thought those quotes were fairly positive.
This is the funnest night ever.
The two of them. Can we make the two of them live in the trailer like Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor and then have some fourth stringer fluff up their pillows for them or something just to see who exits when it's all said and done?
I actually had other good takeaways.
Well, sorry. Maybe we'll do it. We don't have time for those. Maybe later. We'll do some open phone lines coming up at 9 o'clock. So whatever you guys have on your mind, we're ready to go. We got a score update from the PGA Championship and some bad news with the Mariners all next. I'm Brock and Saul.
You guys are not going to regret this. We're going to get so much more activities done.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, let's do this. Let's answer your questions. And then, we will have some...
Not answering questions.
Oh, yeah, we're not answering questions. Well, Brock and I are going to answer
questions. In your head, you're already in Vegas. You're already poolside.
Whoa, he's gone.
Whoa.
No
dude.
Questions.
Dude. Did I just scoot ahead an hour?
Hey, bro, I just walked by the bathroom. He tried on his embroidered sequin bro tank. The last name's Salk on the back.
His custom Ed Hardy shirt.
He's like, bro, can you take these?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Affliction,
maybe?
Can you take the electric razor and just shave around the bro tank?
I did shave for this.
No, seriously.
I will say that.
Be my best friend. Don't be like stepbrothers like Doug and Russ. Just shave around my...
Are you done?
Shave around my bro tank.
Are you done?
Those are my two bugaboos.
All right, what's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Jerks. Seahawks-Colts preseason opener tonight will also be Andrew Luck's first game in almost 600 days.
Good news, going to be 90 degrees, place going to be popping, football is back in the air, and so many young guys. In I know the last few years, I mean, the ratings have still been through the roof. Y'all have still been incredibly interested in a Super Bowl caliber team with lots of stars. But this does go back to 2011. This does go back to the discovery phase of who is going to be the next star that emerges. And oh, by the way, if the franchise quarterback gets better, Bobby Wagner continues to lead this thing, there's more star power than there was in 2011.
Yeah, I would tend to. Look, it's good news. I'm just excited to see them. I'm excited to see Andrew Luck. That's good for football. Honestly, it is. I mean, I had this conversation. You and I have had it a few times. He was as hyped a quarterback prospect, as there's ever been.
As Elway.
Maybe since
you had to go back to Elway in the early 80s. Yeah.
But for the most part, right there, I mean,
Oh, for sure.
He was more than Peyton Manning, but he can run.
Yes.
I mean, he's the perfect quarterback prospect. And... Not that he's... Well,
he was a three-time Pro Bowler. He was phenomenal. He took that team to the playoffs.
He was not quite phenomenal. He was very, phenomenal. Very good. Not quite phenomenal. And then he's gotten hurt. And, yeah, I think it would be really good for the league to get Andrew Luck back out doing his thing. So, obviously, that part is good news. And I agree with everything you said. Getting to see whether the Seahawks can recommit to their identity, good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Former UW commit Ali Cajo, who left the school to be home in Las Vegas for family issues, is now enrolled at Alabama for the season.
This is such garbage, man. I hate this. I try to look at it and say, okay, well, you know, if he didn't really want to be here and he wasn't committed to be here, then it's a good thing he's somewhere else. But it's just dirty. It's a dirty pool. The whole thing just grosses me out, Brock. And I know you want me to like college football more than I do. And honestly, when I watch it, I've come around.
Yeah.
I've been able to ignore the fact that the quarterbacks stink. I have. I've gotten over that in the last few years. And I've been able to appreciate the game for the game. I've watched more college football in the last few years than I ever have in my life. But this stuff just grosses me out.
Yep. Yeah, it is bad news. And there's a reason Chris Peterson doesn't live in the five-star world. They're not OKGs. And he thought this kid was because this kid made this decision. He came out on an unofficial. He loved it. He wanted to be a part of the program. Family, friends, loved ones did not want him to be up in the Pacific Northwest. So ultimately, he's out, finds his way to Tuscaloosa, and it's bad news.
Good news, bad news.
Or maybe it's
no
good news.
News.
Maybe it is good news. Maybe that just further, honestly, kind of confirms everything that Pete's always
felt
about.
Make up your mind.
Cool. Don't flip-flop. Don't be a
fool. I will say bad news, but go ahead. Sorry, Liz.
No, it's okay. Jerry DePoto was non-committal yesterday talking with Danny David Moore about the Mariners' plans for Felix Hernandez moving forward.
Yeah, this is bad news because you're having this conversation of Felix's struggles, and it's further bad news because you didn't find a starter at the deadline. Oakland, by the way, not only got the best reliever in Familia, who's not given up a run, zero zip zilch, 0.00000 ERA since he's become an Oakland A and helped them win multiple games. In fact, they're three up in the standings on you, and you could argue that what he's done out of the bullpen alone has helped them outpace you.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that, though. I mean, I would say that's been pretty well balanced out by Warren and Duke, who have essentially, oh, no, they've given up like 90 runs in four appearances.
Just don't look at Zach Duke's 27 ERA since
I can't believe it's only 27. I thought it'd be higher than that.
He's gotten five outs and allowed five earned runs.
Could you not get Mike Fiers, by the way? Could you not have done that move? Could the Mariners not have, does Billy Bean just have way more relationship, as Morosi said in the Familia deal, that it was his buddy JP back in New York? That just, you know.
I don't know if Familia would have played as well here, though, just because of his past. Like, he's had a domestic violence, or at least been investigated that.
He has. On the other hand, he's been really, really good, and Duke and Warren have been really, really bad. So if it wasn't going to be Familia, it had to be somebody else. I mean, like, Jerry needed to do more, unfortunately.
But now you're in a position you don't have a starter to go to. Erasmo is working through mechanical. Jerry said 10 days he'll be up here.
Yep.
Whether that's as a starter or making the starter the next one. But you don't have any more depth that you feel great about.
Agreed.
Bad news.
Bad news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Good news, bad news, or no news. Brock said that the Huskies losing their top commit could be good news.
I will say that's good news. Mm-hmm. It's Brock keeping, it's really no news. I would say
staying true to form.
Brock staying true to form.
I could say this is good news.
Yep.
when you lose a coach, it's no news.
Five-star linebacker, who needs him?
Yep.
Nothing makes Brock more mad than this conversation, by the way. I can see him seething right now.
I'm not even listening to Kyle. I got those moths that flew into the umpire's ear. He opens his mouth about Husky stuff. I got two moths that fly into my ears.
He's not even making fun of the Huskies. He's only making fun of how you think everything that happens to them is good news.
That's right.
It is true. You have to give Kyle some credit. He's right about this.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Nope.
Yes.
You're not going to get me today, all right? Ain't going to happen, bro. I'm in too
good
a place.
You and your bro tanks, you're not going to sucker him in.
Game day rolls, game day calls, and I am in a good place.
Good for you, Brock.
Game day rolls today.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Tommy Diego's $154,000 payout from the British Open was mistakenly deposited in the bank account of a random Tom Fleetwood, who was a golf pro in Florida.
Well, this is obviously Florida news. Let's start by saying this is Florida news. So what do? You're Tom Fleetwood. You get an $154,000 wire transfer into your bank account.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
You start to worry about the mafia. You start to worry about something somewhere.
Like, then you got to give it back, right? Like, do you think Tom... So we've heard these stories, like, Bill hits somebody with a golf ball, gives him his Rolex or something like that. Does Tommy Fleetwood leave Tom Fleetwood a tip of some sort? Mm. Do you get $1,000 for that?
I think so.
You give him $1,540.
You give him 10%. You give him
1%.
1%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that right? That's a nice tip.
I think that would be a really nice gesture from Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood makes how much money over the course of a year?
Lots.
How many millions of dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say leaving $1,500 would be a nice deal, don't you think?
I'd agree.
Yeah. All right.
You win $3,000 on the blackjack tonight. That's what you do, right? You leave a $300 chip for the dealer.
He has currently won $4.1 million this year.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty good
career
life.
Earnings 16.
That's pretty good life if you can get it.
What if next year the show unit pitches in and gets you all bro tanks? Like, because you guys won't do it, but what if the show unit here all
maybe that'll be
in?
My Christmas gift this year.
That would be great. That'd
you
be
got
such
us all
a
t-shirts
Christmas.
Last year that you did the cool stuff.
Oh, you got
on.
Us like the pajamas last
yeah.
year.
Three quarter length.
Yeah, yep. Those are awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think so. Thanks, but no thanks.
I think so.
I'm gonna go anti bro tank, but I appreciate
Pomona
where
Pride.
You're from. Yeah, it's a ton of it. All right, let me remind you guys one more time. Tonight's games, you got Seahawks on 710 starting at 5 o'clock with a pregame show. Mariners will be on 770, pregame show at 4, and then game at 5 o'clock. So Mariners on 770 a.m., Seahawks here on 710. Because of the game tonight, tomorrow will be a little bit different, so we don't have time to open phone lines tomorrow. So we would like to do our traditional Friday open phone lines right now. So anything that is on your mind, Mariners, Seahawks, Huskies, Cougs, whatever it is, 206 Golf PGA Championship, 206-421-3776.
Vegas.
If you want to talk Vegas, I am 100% here for that. 206-421-3776. Whatever you guys have, any question or any subject, any comment, any hot take, whatever it is, we're ready for you next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Game day rolls, game day calls, and I am in a good place.